Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored once again by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. The Business Creators Radio Show does not have one of those $25,000 Hollywood quality studios with soundproof walls that we added onto the house. In fact, in alignment with my own lifestyle, which involves frequently physically moving around, we host this thing from a laptop, and we take you to those places where you have those mastermind meetings and aha moments where you may receive the answers to questions you didn't even think to ask, where it could change your trajectory or at least bring you a little bit closer to your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. In fact, today I'm coming to you from one of my hangouts as my internet at home decided conveniently that on the one day that I lined up all my interviews and all my phone calls, thought this would be a great day for the internet to be down. So that's flexibility for you. And what I just spoke of has a bit to do with branding. And part of my brand is that I don't do anything I don't want to. And I don't sit in one place if I don't want to. So we pick up the show and we move it around. And today we are going to be discussing the topic of building what's known as your brand of gold. See, the importance of a strong digital footprint and building a personal brand is something that we hear a lot about. So you're going to discover a lot of things today, including strategies for crafting an impactful online presence through social media, websites, and professional profiles, and so much more, including professional image, networking skills. We're just going to sort of dive in and see where things lead and see where our interests are. But let me introduce you to today's guest. His name is John Golden. He is a globally acknowledged sales and marketing thought leader, speaker, and strategist who has conducted over 1,500 video interviews and one audio interview, which is today, of thought leaders for Sales Pop Online Sales Magazine and a YouTube channel, and for audio podcast channels where Sales Pop is rated in the top two of most popular shows out of 3,320,580 podcasts globally ranked by Listen Notes. He is formerly the CEO of, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, Huthwaite, a global sales consulting organization, and Omega Performance, and is currently the Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer, CMSO, which almost sounds like I told you so, at Pipeliner CRM. In his spare time, he's an avid martial artist and seeker of wisdom, and he's also the Amazon best-selling author of a book called Winning the Battle for Sales, Lessons on Closing Every Deal from the World's Greatest Military Victories and Social Upheaval, How to Win at Social Selling. John Golden, come on in. The weather's fine.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
All right. So it may seem to our listeners I'm a little more subdued than usual. And the reason being, as I mentioned, is my internet is out at home. And the place where I'm at, I need to sit indoors because, unfortunately, and this is really weird for this time of year in Las Vegas, it's actually a little chilly to sit outside. It doesn't often get cold here, but there'll just be this chill in the air that you just can't escape no matter what you do. And it's just more annoying than anything else. You have to stay out of it. Now, John, I read off your official bio, and this is so impressive. I'm not even sure I'm worthy to be in your presence, candidly. And this is my show. So I know it sounded like I've been talking and talking and talking and talking up until now, but the energy is now going to begin to shift in your direction as you share with us your brilliance and passion. So let's start there and read off your official bio, but let's hear a bit about your story in your own words and what's brought you to where you are today, serving our business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
I mean, my story is a kind of a long and winding road, which I think is the same for a lot of people. I'm originally from Ireland, as you may be able to tell from my accent, but I had the opportunity to come to the States about 26, 27 years ago now, to Silicon Valley during the dot-com era. I was working for an Irish startup that was in the we're doing computer-based training, actually, and opened up in Silicon Valley, and we're on the NASDAQ and all of that. So I got to experience the whole dot-com boom and then bust, and then stayed here in the States and worked for a number of different organizations, from from being at the franchisor of New Horizons Computer Learning Centers. I was at a K-12 education professional development startup in Pennsylvania for a while. That was literally startup with a plastic desk and four walls and not much else, a computer and a phone. And then I, as you mentioned, I ran Huthwaite, which you pronounce correctly, and Omega Performance, two companies for the which were part of the parent company Informa, an English company that's on the London Stock Exchange, who owns, I don't know, like 40, 50 different businesses. And so I ran a few of those businesses for them. And then once the businesses I was running were, we sold them off to a private equity group, went into management consulting. And one of my first customers actually was the founder of Pipeliner CRM, who asked me to join him on the journey of bringing the CRM to market. And that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years, is working with him, bringing Pipeliner CRM to market, and also doing my podcast Sales Pop. So that's in a condensed version of my where it took me to get to here. But I think what has been most beneficial to me is the fact that over the years I've worked with product marketing, product development. I've worked in marketing. I've worked in sales. I've worked in running businesses. I've kind of covered all of the different aspects of it. So I like to think it gives me much better view of the intersection between, product marketing and sales, and how to best align those groups.
Well, that is absolutely fantastic. And thank you for sharing that with us. So we're going to dive in. You gave us a number of different talking points when we were chatting in the green room, and we'll probably get through most of these. They may not be in the exact order that we got them, but we're going to have sort of a fun mastermind level chat here, as our listeners have come to appreciate. And what I want to do is I want to start with sort of a global concept of, as we heard when I read off your bio. Mm-hmm. So in your view, John, how can individuals most effectively utilize some combination of social media, websites, and their professional profiles to build their digital footprints and bolster their personal brand? This is a question that comes up a lot for me, actually expressed in different ways. And sometimes it takes the form of, well, do I send people there my website, or I send them my social media, and what platform should I be on, and what should I say, and what should I do? So I'm going to start with that broad question. I'm going to allow you to bring it in to whatever level you want.
Yeah. So I think Adam, the starting point is you have to ask yourself how important is this to me, right? Because if it's important to you, and it should be, building your digital, your online brand, because people now look at you as an individual, not just the company you work for. The days are gone when it was really just the company that people researched. They didn't really know much about you as a person. Now, they want to know everything about you as a person. So you have to make up your mind about whether you're going to do this intentionally. And I say intentionally because if you want to put forward your best digital presence, I mean, obviously LinkedIn is, for most B2B professionals, at least, it is somewhere extremely important. So, it's worth spending time on that and making sure that's as credentialing as possible. But it's also worth looking at all your other presences. Maybe you have personal social media, and that you want to kind of segregate those and keep them very separate. And I would say keep your, you know, your personal social media private to, or to the, you know, your close friends and that, because what you want is, you want, when people go search for you, you really want your professional brand to stand out. So I would say, first of all, you need a very good LinkedIn in profile. And then if you want to be on other social media platforms like X and Twitter X and Instagram or any of those, is first ask yourself, does this help me professionally? Like, do the people who I'm trying to reach, or the people I'm trying to establish credibility with, are they likely to be on Instagram? Are they likely to be on X? And if they are, then say, okay, this is another professional window into me. So I want to make sure that my presence there is as credentialing and as professional as possible. So maybe the first place to start is to take a look at your LinkedIn profile. And take a look at it from, kind of step out of yourself and take a look at it as a third party and say, what does that say about me? And maybe you could have some colleagues or friends, but also look at it and say, what does that communicate to you about me? And if it's not communicating what you wanted to communicate, then, you know, you need to redo that. But I would encourage you to make sure that everything that's public facing is as professional as possible, because you will never get bad marks for being professional. But sometimes being unprofessional or being casual and stuff can count against you. So I would always really, really stress on people is make sure that your online presence is, your public online presence is very credentialing, and that you're active on it too. Not that you're just, you have a profile on LinkedIn, but you're engaging with other people and you're engaging, you know, you're involved in groups maybe, but you're making comments on other people's content, you're producing your content of your own. But try and keep it as targeted as possible, because it's easy to stray off into other areas. And again, what you want is when somebody comes and looks at you, they want to say, oh, Adam, I can tell he is an expert in this, or this is the guy I need to talk to about this. Not sort of, oh, I see he's got some experience in this, but he also seems very interested in this topic over here and all of that, and it can get a little confusing. So be very intentional and be very focused in your digital presence.
All right. So there are so many ways to be digitally present, and there are all these social media platforms, and for every single platform that's out there, you're going to have somebody telling you, well, if you're not on this platform, you're not really in business. Like, for example, I have an Instagram profile, and what I mostly post on there are pictures of cats, the obligatory occasional photograph of my meal, and sometimes just funny random stuff. And I've had these professional consultants come to me say, well, you know, you really need to put a lot of stuff about your business on there. And then I have my own operations manager who teases me and tells me the only reason I'm on Instagram is to throw birdseed at my harem of women. I mean, there's so many jokes about it, that when it really comes down to it, if somebody wants to be on my Instagram, it's because they want to see sort of the lighter side of me, sort of the human side of me. And I think that that's also part of the brand, because if you're going to do business with somebody, particularly if it's in a consulting or a done with you type mode, which are our primary lines of business at this point, you got to know who you're dealing with, and you have to feel that resonance with them. Some people call that know, like, and trust. I just prefer to stick straight to resonance, because I can know you, like you, and trust you and not resonate with you.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And again, I think a lot of it has to depend on where your customers are, your prospective customers. If they're on Instagram, then be on Instagram. And it's, and like I said, I'd say to keep it professional. I mean, you can, you know, explore and highlight different parts of your personality. I would, like I said, I think the most important thing is just that you are aware of what that's communicating. And if that's, like in the case you're talking about, is if that helps, like, building trust to know you a little bit better, that's fine. That's a good thing. But like I said, just be intentional about it. But I think the other thing, just a little bit of a warning right now, is I would say to people is, is, especially with the advent of AI, and that is, don't stray into fake news, right? Don't start like pumping yourself up online in ways that aren't true. Don't try and present yourself as something who you're not. Like, try and be authentic. And I think that's the biggest thing, Adam, is be authentic. And that doesn't, and but be authentic in a smart way. And that's what I mean, is like, is again, remember your purpose here. Your purpose is to build your brand. Your purpose is to be taken seriously. Your purpose is to be trusted. Your purpose is to be seen as somebody who has some valuable insights or something, or can help me in some way. So I think that's the most important thing. And avoid anything that's disingenuous. Avoid like puffing yourself up. Avoid getting AI to create lots of stuff for you that you can just spam on these digital platforms. So again, I would say try and be as authentic as you possibly can, but also ask yourself what it is you're trying, you know, who you really are and who you would like to be perceived as.
Okay, so for the next few minutes, we're going to have a bit of fun, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing until after I do it, but I will ultimately reveal all the pieces of it and how they have to do with personal branding. So let's start with artificial intelligence. Yes. I happen to think it's a great thing. I'm not worried about Skynet acquiring power and destroying the entire Earth with setting off all the nukes at once. I mean, I've seen the Terminator movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At the same time, I agree with you that, you know, if you, whether you use ChatGPT or QuickWrite or the mm-hmm. tool in Canva or the tool in Bing or what have you, that allows you to create artificially intelligent content, that just simply typing in a prompt and then copy pasting whatever it gives you is not only candidly disingenuous, I think it's just lazy. I think that it's a great start, but there's another level to it that makes it especially powerful, because what's awesome about artificially intelligent copy is, I'm going to ask you, John, since you're, you know, a marketer yourself, is it easier for you to write from scratch or to edit a rough draft?
That's a good question. It depends. Personally, on me, it depends sometimes. But I definitely, with AI now, it is that it definitely gives you a great opportunity to be able to put together drafts and maybe pull in different pieces of content, and then for you to work through it, in inject your own opinions into it and rewrite it kind of as your own. I think for a lot of people, working off drafts is probably better for them. Not everybody can stare at a blank piece of paper and come up with something straight off the bat.
Bingo.
I like to do that sometimes, but generally speaking, most people can't.
Exactly. So AI is your rough draft.
Yes.
Now, once you have your rough draft, you put it through a process of humanization, because the issue with artificial intelligence is, essentially, if you remember from 10, 15 years ago, there was this trend that was going around for about 15 hot minutes known as article spinning, where you would write one article and then put it into a spinner that mm-hmm. would create six other articles that all said substantially the same thing, but had different titles and took the same content and just rearranged it. And the idea was to create multiple pieces of content to capture similar key phrases to extend your coverage on Google searches. And that all got blown away when Google saw what people were doing and just flipped the switch and wrecked that algorithm. And I think I'm glad they did it, because I had a few clients who were into that article spinning stuff, and I thought it was crap that mm-hmm. actually degraded their brand. But with humanization, there are tools you can use. And I have an outline somewhere that explains how this all works, where you take your artificially intelligent content and you run it through a tool that assesses how likely it is that this will be perceived as artificial intelligence content. Usually it's going to give like a 90% rating.
Yep.
Then what you do is you run it through a humanizing rewrite script, and that will basically just reword it and make it sound more human. And if you've trained your AI in your voice, it'll bring mm-hmm. it over to your voice. Then what you do is you take that content and run it through the AI checker again,
yep.
and it'll usually tell you that you're anywhere from 3% to 12% likely that this is artificial intelligence. And then the tool that I use allows you to push a little button, and it'll highlight the sections that it believes are artificial intelligence. At that point, you edit them. then you spend a couple minutes just fact checking, because part of the issue with artificial intelligence is all the stuff in those GPTs is content that was scraped off the internet and they didn't fact check it along the way. Like, just for fun, when I was first learning artificial intelligence, I was using a tool called QuickWrite, which is a version of AI that's specifically for authors, and you can use it to write your entire book in like 10 minutes. And so I gave it a prompt that, and this is the entire prompt. Here it is. Could you please write a biography of Ron DeSantis? Okay. It wrote me a biography of Ron DeSantis. It gave me a title, gave me a, it gave me chapters. It wrote out all the chapters and everything else. I read the first page and found six errors right off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. It misidentified what his parents did for a living. Said that he went to Columbia University when in fact we know he went to Harvard and Yale. And it also said he was in the Army. Everybody knows he was in the Navy.
Yeah.
So you have to watch for that, because sometimes it'll be a lot more subtle.
Yeah,
but what was cool about that, if you want to write a biography of somebody, particularly a famous person, you can generate that. But now you're going straight from the rough draft to the developmental editing. So you're already moving to step two of creating an effective book. So what you do is you do your humanization. You know, you put it in your voice, you fact check it, and then anything that the filter identifies as AI, you rewrite it, and then you put it through the AI filter again. And usually in my experience, it'll say something like, this is 1-2% likely to be artificial intelligence. Well, you know, you're never going to get it perfect, because we read things on the internet and eventually we just learn to write and speak that way a little bit. It's always going to creep in, but a couple percent, that's unique. Now you have your humanized content. You have a great piece of content you can use. It's in your voice. It's fact checked. It's accurate, and it represents your brand. So, So I had this one client who candidly was an absolute ding dong, and I'm glad I don't have him anymore. But one of the roles that we played with them was generating content that was written under the client's byline. And they forbid me to use artificial intelligence because they were fearing some Google backlash. So, you know, the first, but yeah, at the same time, when I wrote this stuff from scratch, they constantly complained about it. So you know what I did? I'll tell you the process. I asked them to, whenever they needed a piece of content, to write a short paragraph and cover things like, you know, what is the subject you're looking for? What is the keyword you're looking for? And since you like to provide, and since you like your articles to have examples of things, what are the things you want examples of? And what supporting information would you like to see in subheads? Write that as a 4-5 sentence paragraph. I'd drop that into ChatGPT, and then I would do the process I just described. And the funny thing is after I started doing that, they said, wow, your writing skills have just elevated exponentially overnight. This is amazing.
Well, I hope your fee went up exponentially too.
No. As I said, they were a ding dong, but see, the point is bifurcating between just you taking AI and dumping it versus having a process for humanizing it to making it part of your brand. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing I want to cover with you is, and I mentioned this in the first question, and we didn't really cover it yet, is when you are referring people to check you out, does it make more sense to send them to a website or to a social media profile? Here's one of the reasons I ask. In my primary business, one of our product lines is called Launch Your Podcast Fast, which is our proprietary system for launching a podcast. And part of the package is, and we actually require this, like if you don't do this, we won't do business with you. We require this, is you actually build out a separate dedicated website just for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that you have plenty of time here to talk, so I'm not going to go through all the reasons why. People can go to www.reachoutcall.com and book a call with me. I'll happy explain to you or read my blog. And the reason we do this is because there are many reasons, but I'll tell you just one. It protects the client in a way. We have a consulting client who started their own podcast, and they hosted it through Anchor by Spotify, And then there was a problem with that. So they tried to switch to Podbean. Then they went back to Anchor. But the bottom line is, just when your podcast was beginning to finally blow up after 6 months, and they were getting a lot of attention on it all of a sudden due to a couple celebrity guests that sent a lot of listeners their way, their podcast was down. And because they were relying entirely on a third-party system, there was nothing they could point to. But meanwhile, if they had that website, they could have just taken the audio and video of those episodes, embedded them in players, put them in blog posts on that website, and said, okay, well, I know you're looking for it on Spotify. We're in the process of upgrading our feed. But the podcast is live. Just go to our website. You can listen to it right now. Because candidly, your listener is only going to be interested in getting the podcast content. They don't really care if their click registers as a statistic for you. They want to hear your episode. They want to click a play button. Doesn't matter where, as long as they can hear it. And with when this client said to us, we wish we would have known you 6 months ago, because we would have taken this step and we wouldn't be in this pickle right now. So coming back to the question, John, and after you answer the question, I'm going to reveal all the things I just did, is where do we send them? Website, social media profile, what?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it depends on what the outcome you're looking for is, though. But I do think what you outlined there and having landing pages, that's always, it's always nice if you can do a synopsis landing page of yourself. But if that's not, if you're not up to doing that, then I think your LinkedIn profile becomes very, very important. Because, you know, you can... And you can, okay, you know, you can put in your post and have, you know, featured links to your to, you know, if you have a podcast or if you've done a video or if you have authored a white paper or whatever. I would say that that's always a good place to go. But it really depends on what your, you know, as I said, it really depends on who your target audience is. If you're in the consulting game, I definitely think your LinkedIn profile is hugely important.
Yep.
But obviously if you're in say this public speaking game, again, it's hugely important. But, you know, again, maybe in that case you want to have the type of landing page that you're talking about there, because you want to have some excerpts from your speeches. You want to have the topics that you normally cover. You maybe you need to have more than one landing page, depending, because oftentimes, say if you're a consultant, you may be a consultant. You may also do public speaking. You may do a number of different things. So maybe having a landing page for each type, you know, one for your consulting, one for your speaking, and one for whatever else you do, is not a bad idea either. So that if you want to get very specific with people.
Yeah. So basically your answer is it depends, but be smart about what it depends on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So a couple of the tactics that I did in my little soliloquy there a few minutes ago. First of all, by saying soliloquy rather than just saying I rambled for a bit, you see that I am somebody who likes to flex my vocabulary. I love when people talk wordy to me. and that leads to the second thing, is I have a sense of humor that includes sarcasm and a little bit of salacity. Salacity means kinky. Yeah. If this is not something that you can resonate with, I might not be the guy for you. But if this is something that you find entertaining, that resonates with you, that makes you feel like you know, like, and trust me more, maybe I am the person you need to work with. So now I'm doing my attract and repel just through my conversation. Now, you also, sir, you heard me call my previous client a ding-dongs because they're a ding-dong. So I've also let you know that while I'm an empathetic humanist who can't pronounce words, even though I like them big. And there I go being salacious again, that I don't suffer fools gladly. So working with me, you got to know that if I think you have a dumb idea, I'm going to tell you your idea is stupid. So be prepared for that. And it's because I want you to have great ideas and I want you to be wildly successful, and I'm not going to let you slip. So, and then the final thing, this is really big, is a concept called seed-based marketing, which has been around for a long time, but I learned it from one of my clients who's also my business coach, Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. And it's just the idea that you weave stuff about what you do into your normal everyday conversation rather than constantly pitching your business. So in setting the framework for asking you a question about where you should send your visitors to learn more about you and get to know you, I gave you a brief snippet of a masterclass on the work that I do and the value it brings to our clients in real time. And I did that without having to sit you down and say, hey, let's talk about podcasting. You have one? You want one? So if you, I know you have a podcast. I've had a chance to glance at it. Looks good. But if you didn't have a podcast and you're thinking about one, just hearing me say in casual conversation that that's what I do, now you and anybody else who's listening to the conversation, such as everybody who's going to tune into this episode, is going to say, oh, he's in podcasting. Well, I'm thinking about launching one. How's this launch your podcast thing? How does that work? So seed-based marketing is the ultimate selling without selling strategy.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it comes, Adam, to be honest, is if you are passionate, if you believe in what you're doing, if you really think it can help other people, if you have that real belief in you, then this becomes, what you're talking about there, becomes natural to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing, because if you want to, if just in a sales context, if you want to sell something, if I don't hear the passion, if I don't hear the belief, if I don't hear the excitement, if I don't feel that you desperately think this is a great idea for me and want to help me, I'm not interested, right? Because if I'm thinking, if you're not passionate about this, if you couldn't talk all day about this, then why am I even bothering with you? And I think exactly what you're talking about there is what you did is, you know, you're talking about it, but you're talking about it in a very engaging and in a way, almost like if I let you go, you can talk about it for the next 3 hours and I can just sit back.
Oh, I can.
Listen.
Well, yes, I can.
I have no doubt. But for me, then I'm like, okay, this is interesting. This is somebody who knows what they're doing. This is somebody who cares about what they're doing. So therefore, I'm more likely to pay attention to you. And as you said, by doing it in the way that you did, you've kind of disarmed me.
Bingo. Okay, so what I want to do here is, for a moment, I want to turn the tables. Mm-hmm. Ask me any question about anything. Doesn't matter. That could be about the topic of our conversation. Could be about anything. Ask me any question.
Okay. Why did you decide to get into podcasting in the first place?
I'm actually going to ask you to ask me a question that's not about podcasting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
why do you
thinking,
like cats so much?
Why do I like cats so much? You know, it's interesting. You know, I have. You know, our listeners know that I'm owned by two house panthers. Their names are Princess Alessandra Francesca and Princess Stella Juliana. Now, I myself have my Business Creators Radio Show is audio only format. But if I'm guesting on somebody else's podcast and it's a video show, I will with hidden reluctance, but understanding that I'm on somebody else's platform, so I'm going to respect that. I'll plug in the Logitech webcam and I'll hold my media pose to the point of the interview. Now, the cats, especially Alessandra, will sometimes pace right in front of me. So you'll see her black fur and her tail go back and forth. And what's been very interesting is how sometimes people will check out podcasts or places where I do appear on video because they want to see my cats. And I found that interesting that, you know, with some of our podcasting clients, that they will incorporate things like their cats or their dogs. You know, real funny story. I'm not going to say which client it is. They're in a more professional space, and they came to us because they're a client of our Post Your Podcast Fast service, which does post-production and publishing. And they needed us to edit out because their dog had been roaming around in the background for the first few minutes. And I didn't know if we were going to be able to do it, but fortunately we found a way through a little sleight of hand to make the dog disappear. And I even said to the client, you know, it's okay. I know you're in front of a more professional audience, but you have to remember, you're still dealing with people and they have dogs. So, and then the client confided to me and they said, you know, the reason I needed to have the dog taken away, taken out is because the dog had an accident. And that's why I was leaning to the side to obscure the dog because I didn't want you guys to see that. Okay,
yeah,
so you see what I did there? I mean, it's pretty obvious. Is you asked me about cats, and I told you about my cats, but
did.
I dropped in some seeds.
Exactly.
And so, John, now that we're talking business.
Yes.
Okay, so you see what I just did there?
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't even talking business, but now I can say, well, since we're talking business, so I can transition a non-business conversation into a business conversation if through the feedback and the engagement I'm getting from you, I'm picking up a vibe that you might be seriously interested in learning how this works because you may be considering it for yourself.
Yeah, and what I like though out of there is the authenticity piece, and that's what I always say is like be who you truly are. And I think the one animal I don't think you should be is a chameleon, because you know, chameleons are fun little creatures. You know, it's great to see them change color and all that. But when it comes to, especially to business relationships, you don't want to have multiple personalities, and you don't want to turn up differently at different times. You want to be your authentic person. And part of the building of trust is I know what I get when I talk to Adam, and I know who you are. I'm not going to be blindsided by you suddenly doing something differently or coming at it from a different angle. And I think that's really important. And I think If your authentic self is somebody who maybe you love your animals and they show up behind you on your podcast, well, that's cool, that's fine. If it's not contrived and that's kind of who you are, and so I think that's perfectly legitimate. I think the one thing, Adam, now though, is especially because of social media and TikTok and all this kind of stuff, I think people's antennas are up around things that are kind of staged or come off as inauthentic. And you mentioned humor earlier. You know, I mean, I use humor a lot myself, but I'm also careful at times because, you know, humor is kind of subjective, and it can have different people react differently. But I also think there's nothing worse than somebody trying, who's not naturally funny, trying to be funny because they think, oh, I'm on a podcast now, I need to be witty, and you're not. It's worse to try and be witty than it is to just not be witty.
Okay. Well, first of all, John, being a chameleon can be bad karma.
Yep.
Okay. What just popped in your mind when I said that?
It's not going to end good for you. It's going to come back on you.
I was thinking that you were going to hear the lyrics of the song "Karma Chameleon" by Culture
Karma
Club.
Oh, Karma Chameleon from Boy
yes.
George.
so now you know him in the 80s music. You know a little bit about me now.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. You know, I see people who, like, say, for example, they see Gary Vaynerchuk videos and they see him, yelling profanities and things like that. So they decide, okay, well, if he can do it, I can do it too. But what if your personality is the type that you're actually not profane? Like for me, I mean, I can fucking curse like with a goddamn blue streak.
Yeah.
And this is my show, so I can do what the fuck I want. See, that's natural to me. But if that wasn't my personality, that would come off as sounding inauthentic. It would sound stilted and it would sound weird. But when I said that just now, it flowed naturally. It came right off the top of my head and it matches everything else you've heard over the past 40 minutes.
I agree with you. And I think that's the key part is like, don't with your presence online, your podcasting, whatever you're doing, is make sure it's truly you. And sure, you can take techniques and tips from other people. We can all improve at times, but don't try and mimic somebody. I always come back to my compatriot Oscar Wilde, who said, like, be yourself because everyone else is taken.
Oh, I love Oscar Wilde. I mean, that guy had a lot of great insights.
Oh,
and his story is fascinating too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially his dying words with the curtains, I think, or the wallpaper.
Yeah.
He said, "One of us has to go."
I know that one, and you know that his grave marker has a certain piece of it that's like been worn down because so many people have touched it.
Absolutely. No, it's back to what we were saying is it's you can take tips and tricks from other people and whatever, and you can always improve and develop new skills. but really start up, be authentic. And like you said, I mean, to be honest, I don't even like those guys who do those rah-rah, you know, totally like passionate and swearing all the time. I find it a little over the top.
Right.
But I think
which is why I've actually kept it mostly toned down with you. Their episodes were basically the entire hour is me letting off a blue streak. Now, I know I can't do that every time.
Yeah.
So some of the things I'm looking for is I want to get a sense of who the guest is. And I'm so skilled at this. I knew the answer to that during those 2 minutes we were in the green room before I said, let's start recording. I've been doing this for so long and have learned to learn people's cues so effectively that's all I needed to know your personality and the fact. And what I conclude from you is if I flash a little bit of it, like if I pull the curtain back very briefly and I use it as a teaching point, I can get a little bit in there. But you and therefore most likely your audience will probably resonate with that in very small doses if I put it within that context, rather than it be a meeting of the old boys, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
But if you were a different person who's a different audience, I might go there because it would work.
And there's also
being a chameleon and also knowing that you can show different sides depending on context and environment.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's just like asking yourself, okay, once I do this, I have no control over where it goes and where it's going to be distributed, et cetera, et cetera. Am I happy that's how I come across? And if you are, that's great. And if you're not, then you may think about doing things a little differently. But I think, again, it comes back to just being intentional about things. And, you know, I hate to use buzzwords, but I mean, just be deliberate about it, make choices, say like, I'm going to be myself and this is who I'm going to be. I'm not going to try to be somebody else, or, you know, maybe I'll experiment with a couple of things. And if they don't feel right for me, I'm going to drop them and move back to things that are more comfortable.
Well, you know, Babe Ruth, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, only hit it about a third of the time.
Yeah.
So it's okay if you experiment with something and it's not a grand slam.
Absolutely.
You're allowed to occasionally test a method or test the style just to see how it picks up. And if it doesn't, then just don't do it. Mm-hmm. You never know unless you try. So what I want to do now is we have about 15 minutes here and there's still one or two things I really, really want to spend a little bit of time on. So we're going to get this back to you now is, you know, you speak about networking. So how does networking contributing to personal branding? And if you can include in that, if possible, any tips you have for using networking and branding in combination to cultivate some connections, meaningful connections, and get the most out of those opportunities?
Yeah, network. I mean, we live in a network society, and you know, recommendations and referrals have become a currency And therefore, you have to be, I mean, this is where it follows on from your online presence and being credentialing and that. But also building up a network is really important. And you can do it digitally just as well as you can do it in person. But again, I would go back to intentionality and like, who do you want to have in your network, and why do you want to have them in your network, and what can they bring to it? And sometimes people go, well, I can't build a network because I don't have anything to offer people. And why would they network with me? One of the best ways to start is actually asking people for advice. Because one thing I have found, like I never refuse somebody when they ask me for advice. And it doesn't matter whether it's a cold outreach or whatever, you know, if I can advise them, I'll give them, it just takes a couple of minutes of my time. So one of the first ways of building networks is to go and ask, is to find people that you think are interesting, people who are in the area that you are in, and just reach out to them. You can do it over LinkedIn, like reach out to them for a connection or whatever, but ask them for some insight or advice. So you're not just saying, hey, I want to be connected with you. And then the minute you get the connection, I try to pitch and sell you something. I mean, nobody likes that. I would like look for people, ask them for advice. And then when you get connected with people, then ask them, who are other people I should be connecting with? And so always be using it as an opportunity to build on that network as well, whether it's virtual, whether it's in person. And then to be elegant in how you build out your network, right? Don't go for, we live in this awful volume world, you know, where people are obsessed with, you know, look, I have 5 gazillion connections on LinkedIn. And you think, yeah, great. How does that actually serve you? Mm-hmm. So I think you need to be a little more discerning when you're building your network and identifying the right people and then asking people for referrals into other people. And then offering another great way is offering advice in return. It's when you see people who are mm-hmm. who you think would be good to be in your network. Maybe they've posted something on social media. Maybe they posted something on LinkedIn or on their blog or whatever. It's like, take the trouble to read it and make a comment of it, offer some insight into it. Because again, there's nothing people react better to than kind of validation. Oh, you read this, you liked it, you actually commented on it. That's a lot better, because I see a lot of people trying this thing of where they come and they'll comment, great post. And I go, yes, I know, you haven't read it. you're just trying to think, oh, I'll flatter you in the post. And that way you think I'm engaging, but I know you're not really. So again, I would say you're building out your network. Is do it deliberately and offer, ask for advice or offer insights yourself, like, you know, and especially in ways that people value. So as I said, is maybe commenting on one of your posts or asking advice or saying, oh, I know somebody else who this person might be interesting for you to connect with. So when you're building your network, always think about it in terms of reciprocity, right? Don't think of it as I'm building my network. I am connecting with other people who are also building their network. So we're not so much building networks as joining networks together. And I think when you get out of that idea of it's my network that I'm building, and you think about I'm part of this, how can I add value to this broader network? Then things come back to you. Like you said, karma earlier, you know, in a good way, things will come back to you if you take that approach of reciprocity.
Well, this is one of the reasons I urge entrepreneurs to host podcasts. You know, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't want to take away, you know, time on this. Again, contact me if you have any questions about this. But and unless you're looking for a syndication deal or it's like a lead to promote to get a streaming series going or something like that, candidly, listener and download counts don't matter when you're podcasting. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you two reasons why. Reason number one is one of the reasons you should have a podcast, particularly if you're an entrepreneur and it's part of personal branding. So you made an allusion to you connect with somebody on social media and not 30 seconds later, they're in your DMs pitching you.
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine that last pitch you got where somebody said, hey, nice to meet you. Me. Mm-hmm. Let's hop on to Zoom real quick and compare notes so that I can tell you all about myself and hope you volunteer yourself as a client. Yeah, we know. All right.
Yeah.
Now compare that to, hey, John, awesome connecting with you. You know, on my podcast, I've been looking to interview somebody with some fresh perspectives on branding. When can we have you on?
Yeah.
What's your response to that going to be? You just met me. What's your response going to be?
I'm probably just going to say yes immediately, to be honest. I'm not going to say, hey, listen, send me details. Sounds great. But I'm going to be, because
those are the two reactions right there that you're most likely to get. Yep. Hell yes, where do I schedule? Or sounds interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah.
You get a much, much higher response period and a much, much higher personal response. And the reason is very simple. Because you're leading with reciprocity up front.
Yep.
You're saying, hey, nice to meet you. Would you like me to give you some free publicity?
Yes. Would you like me to give you a platform?
Right. And here's the other thing. When I go to networking events, you know, the trope about those, and it's just the most annoying thing, is like, let's say you're at some cocktail party or you're in the exhibit area or it's a break between sessions, whatever, and some random person walks up to you and looks at your, they walk up to you, they glance out at your name tag and they say, John, what do you do? And I'm going to tell you a real funny story about this that really brings it to the point. I was attending one of Bill Walsh's Ultimate Wealth Camps here in Las Vegas. And those who are familiar with those events that he holds here over here in Las Vegas know that the night before day one, they have this really, really, really balls to the wall networking reception in one of the VIP lounges in one of the major resorts here. I can't remember which one it is, but it's always the same one. And one of the times I was supposed to meet somebody there. And just as I'm arriving, they texted me and said, sorry, I can't make it. So here I am in this room where it's dark, it's noisy, it's crowded. I don't know who's here. I don't recognize a single face. So the introvert side of my energy is already overloading. And after about 10 minutes walking around, just seeing if I recognize anyone, I am already completely tapped out on social energy. And I just say, you know what? I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as I'm walking to the door, I'm squeezing by and there's people sitting by the bar. And I make eye contact with one of the guys who's sitting on one of the bar stools. And he sort of taps me on his shoulder to stop me because he wants to chat with me. He says, hey, nice to meet you, Adam. So what do you do? And I looked him in the eye and I said, does it really fucking matter? and because at that point, that's just the mood I was in.
Right.
And he laughed. And he said, you know, that's a really interesting perspective on it. Because I don't know you from Adam.
Yep.
So what does it matter what you do? I don't know you. And I said, okay, you're a man after my own heart, because I then had the chance to tell him something that I have been telling people for years, is that when somebody asks you what you do, it doesn't matter what you do until you know what they need, what they want, and what they respond to, with the third one being the most important, what they respond to. And based on knowing that, you can make the determination if they are somebody you can serve, and if so, how you can serve them. And from there, if you choose to consider them as a potential client or customer, notice that wording, how to phrase that to them in a way that it matches their truth. Because I can phrase the value of podcasting in 100 different ways, but I got to know. What do you need? What do you want? What do you respond to? With the most important being, what would you respond to? So if what really is lighting your fire is having your name all over social media, I'm going to lean on that. If what really gets your gears spinning is the idea of being able to have real conversations with people on social media rather than collecting friends and followers, I'll lean on that. If your passion is selling a streaming series to Netflix, Hulu, or Prime, I'll take that route. If what you really want to do is you want to essentially over time build basically a seminar of all your best ideas so that somebody who wants to learn about you can graze at you until their hair falls out and they decide, yes, I will participate in your $2,000 program because if this is how much you're giving away for free, I can only imagine how awesome the paid version is. I'll lean on that. And I have success stories of all those types of podcasts. And that's the direction I'll take with you. But it doesn't matter what I do until I know all that about you. So when somebody asks me that question, I immediately turn it around.
Yeah. No, you see, that's because I mean, you're not making it about I like what you're doing. I like what you're doing there, because I do think those networking events and those things, and most people can't stand them, right? Because they're exactly like what you said. And, you know, you have the extroverts running around the room kind of jumping on everybody, smiling teethily into your face nonstop. And then you have the introverts who are there. I know I got to be here, but I don't really know what to do and I don't really like it. So everybody, you know, people are already in strange spaces, I always feel, when they're at an event like that. So you're 100% correct. Like if whatever you do, it doesn't really matter. Why you're even there in the first place is far more interesting.
Yeah.
And what so you do. Like, why did you come?
Oh, yeah. By the way, that guy who, when he asked me what I did, I said, does it really fucking matter? We ended up leaving the place together and going and hanging out in the lobby and having a conversation. Went on for an hour or two, and he referred me a client.
There you go.
So, again, it was just a meeting of similar mind. It was just a meeting of similar mind frames. And in his case, he responded to my pattern interrupt. He'd probably asked 100 people what they did, and they gave him the elevator speech, and he probably forgot every single one of them while they were saying it. But I'm the guy that said, does it really fucking matter? And he's thinking, whoa, this guy takes it to a whole different level. Now, if I said that to somebody and they were put off by and they said, well, fine. Okay. Well, you're not my people. That's okay. So I'm going to set you free so that you can find what resonates with you.
Because
as I always like to say, every time you tell somebody no, you create their next yes.
Exactly. No, I'm 100% agreement in that. I think investing time and investing your time, you're wasting your time, you're wasting their time. And it's just like I always say to people, like if somebody's not working out, if you're one of your employees isn't working out in the job, you're better off setting them free to go find something that they're good at than, you know, who wants to fail at the end of the day?
Right.
Like you said, who wants to have a conversation with somebody who really doesn't want to have a conversation with you?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So another thing I've been doing here is, you know, you already have a podcast, so you're unlikely to hire me to launch a podcast. But let's say you didn't have a podcast. Mm-hmm. I would actually be using this conversation, and I would probably introduce some of the same similar themes that I've used with you to test how you react to certain things, the way I say certain things, certain approaches I have,
right,
the way I convey ideas, to see how you resonate with it. And I think you and I are having a pretty good conversation. But if I felt like I was either walking on eggshells with you, or I was having to struggle to extract every single word out of you, and you weren't giggling along and something like that, mm-hmm. basically I would be learning in real time. You know, John's a cool guy, but he's probably not my next client. And
right,
I would say,
right.
thank you, nice to meet you. Let's keep the lines of communication open. Who knows what could happen? I'd just leave it at that. And we might leave it at that if there's nothing else for us to do after this immediate conversation. But the fact is that we connected today. The lines of conversation are now open regardless, and who knows what the future holds. As I like to say, the podcasting is about opening conversations that lead to more closed deals and expanded opportunities over time.
Absolutely. And what I think there, Adam, is what you outlined as well, is instead of going into the conversation, and this is for any salesperson out there, instead of going into the conversation thinking, I have to find the fastest route to a close here, it's I have to figure out whether this is the right fit first.
Yeah.
First and foremost. And as you said, if I discover that it's not a right fit early on, great. I've just saved myself a bunch of time. I just saved you a bunch of time.
Yeah.
If it takes a little longer to figure that out, well, that's good, because I'm gathering lots of really good information as I go along, and I'm allowing me to get a better understanding of you. But what you outlined there is, yeah, instead of being fixated on getting to close as quickly as possible,
uh-huh.
it's much better to be fixated on being very rigorous in your qualification.
Yeah. Well, we're just about out of time here, but I want to leave you with another idea, and this is for our listeners. I've shared this on a few of the other shows. When you have a high-ticket offer like Launch Your Podcast Fast, sometimes there's a long game associated with that. People may be interested in launching a podcast, but they're not ready yet. Maybe it's the money, which is not a small investment. It's a reasonable investment, but it's not small. And you know, hosting a podcast, as you know, while it's a lot of fun, that there is some work involved. You know this because you're a host just as I am.
Yeah.
And you have to decide when you're ready for that. So I had somebody, and I'm currently in this pattern with about a half dozen people right now. I'm going to give you an example of one of the cases where it's worked for me so far is when we come to the place where they're saying, you know, this podcasting thing sounds interesting to me, but I'm just not there yet. So let's not schedule a call in 2 weeks just to touch base. I'll say, cool. How about if we do this? Every so often, it'll probably be every 2 months. I might miss a month, or it might be 3 months, or it might be 6 weeks from now. I'm going to send you a direct message or a text, and it's going to say periodic check-in to see when you're going to get off your ass and launch a podcast. And what you're going to do is you're going to reply to me one of two ways. Is you're going to say you're either going to give me the A answer, which is yes, I'm finally done messing around. Let's do this. Send me a payment link. Or you're going to send me the B, dopey loser answer, which is, I'm still so busy, I don't even have time to sleep. I can't think about a podcast right now. So with this one person who actually became a client, I would send that. I would just copy paste that same thing, periodic check into blah, 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 blah. And they would just type the response, B, B, B. And so about the fourth or fifth time I did it, it's like, okay, let's copy paste it in again. And it was sort of a running joke between us. So I turned it into a humor thing. About the fifth time I did it, they typed A. It's like, okay. So just to be a smart ass, I sent them the payment link.
Uh-huh.
And they said, that's real funny, but you said you were going to do that. So can I schedule a call with you to go over the particulars? I'm ready to do it, but I want to know what I'm getting. It's like,
right.
Then I sent them that link too. And 3 days later, they were signed, sealed, and delivered. We got started.
Yeah, but
so,
but
so it's just to see my personal brand is that I have fun with stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, and it's professional persistence. You do it with humor, with a non, I mean, the non-aggressive way. It's because you know, a lot of people, you know, their follow-ups can be a little bit pushy, you know, or aggressive.
Uh-huh.
I think what you're doing there again is. It's a dance, right? Isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Over time, you're still getting to know each other. And now over time, they go, oh, yeah, but this, you know, Adam's persistent, but he's funny. He's professionally persistent. Mm-hmm. I don't mind getting texts from him.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so annoying to have to find 20 different interesting ways to say, are you ready yet? Or, hey, John, I was reading this article that I found on the internet, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought it would be interesting. Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, there you go.
Bullshit. I have it on my tracker. I need to check in with John to see if he's going to get started. Let me go find an article about podcasting.
One that I probably never read myself.
But one you probably never will read, and you'll probably reply and say, great article.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're just at the top here. And basically what I want to invite all of our listeners to do is John Golden has a great website. It's www.pipelinersales.com. I'm going to say that slowly. www.pipelinersales.com. And what this is John has a CRM system. I mean, when you hear CRM, you think of Keep, you think of ActiveCampaign, you think of High Level. And Pipeliner is a new variation on that. Actually, I don't know how new it is, but it's a unique variation on that. And particularly if you are looking for something that is straightforward and yet dynamic, as the site says, I'll just read to you, we scale by capability, not complexity, which is great. And, you know, when I look at one of the screenshots, it actually looks kind of like Trello. So if you're familiar with Trello, it has a little bit of that look and feel to it. And I encourage you to check that out. I mean, whether you are happy with your CRM right now, you're thinking about getting one, you want to be educated about what some of the great innovations are out there, go check that out, www.pipelinersales.com. And if you want to speak with John about that, you can go to the website and see how to contact him and his team. Do you do demos?
Yep, we certainly do. We do demos, yeah, so, and free trials.
Yeah, so go, you know, go get a demo, go get a free trial. And I don't get anything for this. I'm not an affiliate, but just mention you heard about it on the Business Creators Radio Show. And because I'd like to know that I helped at least one person elevate their game. And Pipeliner, I mean, just on the surface of it, I'm only giving it a surface glance, but it looks really good. So check it out. And with that, John Golden, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and believe me, an education.
Yeah, listen, thanks, Adam. It's fantastic. I really enjoyed talking to you. I love your approach. And I would encourage your listeners, if you want to get into podcasting, Adam's probably the right person to chat with.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.